Coming up this week on Vacation Land, it's our final show of the year. Cal OSHA issues a response to an injury at Knott's Berry Farm. Universal Studios announces its first ever New Year's Eve celebration, and a longtime cast member at Disneyland passes away. Plus, a little bit later on, we're going to recap our favorite things that we experienced in the parks during 2017, and give you our thoughts on what we're looking forward to in the new year. So, break out the eggnog and deck the halls. We're like a big-time actress relocated to a small town to direct a Christmas pageant in a Hallmark Christmas movie. From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is Vacation Land. This is Vacation Land for the week of December 18th, 2017. You can connect with Vacation Land online by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, and Instagram at VL Podcast. And I forgot to mention our Instagram page last week. Our Instagram is pretty popular, surprisingly popular. That's what the kids are using these days. And also, don't forget, we're now on iTunes. Our numbers on iTunes are getting bigger and bigger every week. We're double what we were in our initial first episode is actually almost 100 individual downloads. So thank you, everybody, for visiting us and for taking a listen. Don't forget to click subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and give us some feedback and rate us on there. Hello and welcome to another edition of Vacation Land, a discussion of the latest news, views, reviews, and history from around the other Southern California theme park scene and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park experts. And I'm having trouble talking again this week. I am Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of Vacation Land. And this week I am joined by YouTube sensation and our Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Stratman, singer, mistress of ceremonies, and our SeaWorld reporter, Diane Hobday. And joining us again, because John got sick camping out on Hollywood Boulevard, is, what are we calling you this week?
John the Present.
John the Present. Mr. John Stratman.
Yeah. Cool. I like that.
Hello, John. Welcome. Thanks for sitting in last minute for us. All right. So how's it? Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
To you too.
Diane, I don't know if we've ever had you introduce yourself to us. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and your experiences with theme parks?
Thanks for catching me off guard, Chris.
Yeah, it's fine.
I did introduce myself, I think, the first time we did this podcast together, but I have loved theme parks my entire life. I worked for the Disneyland Company or the Disney Resort from 2000 to 2006. I visit theme parks regularly, which is good. I have a lot of fun. I have a daughter that I take with me on my adventures, and we've traveled as well. We've gone to Florida together. We want to expand a little bit more and go a little outside of just even the Disney theme parks. But
What year did you leave Disneyland?
I left in April of 2006.
Okay. Were you in the Big Spinny Building?
I was in the Big Spinny Building. Yeah, I was in the World of Technology before it became Star Wars.
So the Big Spinny Building was the building formerly known as Interventions, now currently known as Star Wars Merchandise Central.
Pretty much.
I think we may have actually worked in that Big Spinny Building at the same time.
We might have crossed paths. Yeah.
Past each other at some point.
Every 18 minutes.
Always counterclockwise, though. Always counterclockwise. Yeah. So,
what was it like working in that building? Like, what did you do?
I performed in the ring presentations, presenting technology of the future. Yeah,
so Diane literally spun by.
I did. I was on the outside ring. Awesome. And yeah. We talked about technology that a lot of people already had upgrades to in the audience.
That's awesome.
We're like, hey, here's this new technology. And the guy's like, seen it. Got it.
I used to stand outside as a greeter, and people would say, hey, what's in that building? I said, you ever been to Best Buy? It's a lot of the same stuff.
Wow.
But, you know, I had a great time. I made a lot of good friends, and yeah. I've still kept those friendships even, you know, years later.
All right, thank you. I want to thank Diane for joining us again this week. She's had some really interesting experiences around Southern California. She's been very, very busy.
Yes, 3 theme parks in 1 week.
That's exciting.
Whoa. And you live here.
And I live here. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Diane's not on vacation. She's just, I don't know, are you on vacation?
Was just a Wednesday?
No, I actually did visit 3 in 1 week, and no, I'm still working my full-time job. No vacation planned, yeah.
What three did you hit?
Oh, gosh. Knott's, Universal, and SeaWorld.
And we're going to talk about all those things, especially we've been, I don't know, if, Diane, if you've been listening, we've been teasing SeaWorld for like a month now.
That's okay.
Whoa. They have.
Okay.
John has not.
I didn't say anything bad about SeaWorld.
Sorry.
You take the boys there if I let you.
I do whatever I can when you let me. But, yeah.
We've also been teasing Universal, but so a friend of mine was supposed to come in and do a show. She came in and did a very different show, and so Aaron today is at Universal Studios Hollywood, experiencing all the things that Diane is going to talk about. So we're very, very excited that Diane is here, because last week we covered Six Flags, which we don't normally cover. We did Holidays in the Park at Six Flags, and that was actually very entertaining and very enlightening. Seems like they're trying to reach out more to like the family audience at Six Flags. With all of this, there's lots of pictures of kids, you know, 6'10" taking pictures. They're not 6'10", but they're 6 to 10 on their website, taking pictures with Santa.
Very tall kids these days. They're growing them much bigger.
Yeah, that's how we breed them in California.
It's all that sunshine and smoke. So the fire is, the fires are continuing. That's
beautiful here in California with all these wildfires.
Oh, geez.
Everything's on fire still. That's very, very windy today. So if we sound like Ella Fitzgerald chain smoking, then we apologize. But it's one of those things where it's very, very windy this year, very, very dry in Southern California. But it's at least it's cool now. It's not 90 degrees in December anymore like it was
two weeks ago.
So it's in the...
But definitely, you know, thoughts go out to all the firefighters that are continuously fighting these crazy fires.
And the family people of the one that lost his life.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, they're working overtime. They're working hard, and some of these fires are still not contained. And we're just, we have one more day of the winds, and I think we'll not be out of the woods, but we have one more day of the really violent, almost hurricane force winds here. So, all right. Well, since John was actually going to talk about his experiences camping out for the lineup.net, the Star Wars Episode 1 premiere, or sorry, Episode 9. I forgot. I was watching A New Hope last night at 1 o'clock in the morning on TNT. But so John caught a cold. Associate producer John, not John the present.
Well, since we're both named John, though, I can like, we have a similar mind. Like, I can kind of tell you what he experienced in a way.
Right. Yeah.
It was cold.
But I choose not to.
It's like when you're a twin and you can feel a slap on the other side of the country.
So I feel a lot, because there's a lot of Johns out there. So that's not easy. Ask John. He'll tell you.
That's a Parent Trap reference for anybody that missed that. So associate producer John is out. He caught a cold sleeping on the street. Shocker, right? Who saw that coming? John, we hope you feel better. But has anybody seen Star Wars yet?
We're going today to see Star Wars.
That's exciting. You guys excited? Kids excited?
Absolutely. 100%.
I'm excited. I've managed to avoid all of the spoilers.
Same here.
Online. And I know I have about another week before it's going to start exploding. So
I'm going to message you tonight.
You just tell me.
Here's
what happened. That being said, let's go park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Is our news segment. So here with our first story of the day is Brandis.
Okay. Knott's Berry Farm told by state to improve safeguards on log ride after boy's family says he was hurt. State inspectors are requiring added safeguards to the Timber Mountain log ride at Knott's Berry Farm after a 5-year-old boy allegedly suffered a fractured eye socket last year on the attraction. In a report released this month, the California Division of Occupational Safety and Health says it investigated the incident and determined that the water level sensor did not function as intended during an inspection the following day on May 3rd. The sensor began functioning normally after debris was cleared, the report says. The correct water level ensures proper breaking and slowing of the logs in the runout area, the pond that the logs splash into near the ride's end. The report also found that smaller riders suffered significantly more injuries on the ride, likely because of the proximity of their faces to padded or possibly insufficiently padded portions of the faux log that riders sit in. Cal OSHA issued a number of requirements for the ride to be completed by January 29th, including enhancing safety instructions with signs, videos, or audio recordings, and inspecting the ride's padding, floorboards, and restraints to ensure the logs are safe and secure for smaller riders. In 2012, Cal OSHA instructed Knott's to enhance the ride's water level monitoring. From May 2013 to January 2015, the log ride was operating out of compliance because the water level wasn't properly monitored, according to state records. The division logged 8 alleged incidents on the ride in 2015 and 2016, from lower back pain to head injury. For this recent inspection, Knott's was charged $12,821 by the state. On May 2nd, 2016, Charles Miller, then 5, was sitting on his father's lap in the rear of the log when the ride suddenly deaccelerated after the final drop, causing the boy to hit his head on the back of the seat in front of him, according to his family. The family said Miller fractured his eye socket, leading to vision problems and subsequent surgeries, and filed a lawsuit in August against the amusement park, alleging that a faulty sensing system failed to monitor water levels. The case is pending in Orange County Superior Court.
All right. So you guys are Knott's Berry Farm annual pass holders, you and John, your husband, not associate producer John. So this is going to be very confusing.
Thank you for clarifying
that. You need a stage name like me.
I'll just yeah. Okay. Well, here's my thought on that. First of all, it's really sad for the boy because that's a fun thing to go through, you know, a fun ride. It's part of your, you know, as a parent, you love to take your kids on it. So that's really sad that that happened. And obviously it's, you know, there's compliance that Knott's probably should have been a little bit more up on. Although I will say you're not supposed to have your child sitting on your lap on that ride.
Now, somebody pointed out online that, if I recall correctly, it's been a while since I've been at Knott's and on the log, right? Because that line's always so long. But
it goes quick.
It really goes quick.
Anyway.
You sit like the old Splash Mountain logs, right? You sit one in front of the other. Now, are there individual? Is it partitioned individually?
Into two separate areas that could fit 3 to 4 people.
Okay.
There is these little not ruts.
Guide rail things.
No, there's this like thing you could put your feet on so when it drops.
You
could
brace
yourself.
But it's
metal and it's slippery.
It's wet, you know.
Now, have you ever noticed – I don't know about – and Diane, you might remember this. When about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they started doing these extended spiels at Disneyland. The recorded spiels started getting longer and longer and longer, and they went from just please hold on to your hats and glasses, and now they've added hold on to your hats and glasses and watch your kids
and no selfie sticks
but the safety spiel is like 5 minutes long now. Is there a recorded safety spiel when you get into the log ride that says
no there's not
don't be an idiot
no, no. There,
don't be an idiot.
The only,
it's a good way to break it down.
The only safety recording I've ever heard is for Bigfoot Rapids that warns you may get wet, you may get drenched, you will get wet or something.
And that's not really safety. They're just being silly.
No, I have this like a vague memory because I used to work at Knott's. I have this vague memory of getting on the log ride and the ride operator, the person that loads you, kind of like mumbles something about Stacy to get your hands aside, and then they push.
Have
the
a great day at Knott's Berry Farm. Yeah, they go quick. Yeah,
yeah. Right. And then, so is that your experience as well? Like, do you know,
I've been on it so many times, I don't recall. It's a very good point. I think they might say something, but again, as like a parent or somebody who's like going on the ride and into that, like you're just kind of thinking about, I want to get in that front seat. You know, like I don't remember them saying anything. And you know what? I might have been wrong. It might not be a rule or anything to not have your kids on your lap, but it seems like kind of common sense a little bit.
I think it does say remain seated, and you must be seated on the padded area, not on a lap.
So
but
then,
the thing is because we've been on this ride so many times, we know when we go on it with our kids, we hold on to them because you are going to slide forward. Mm-hmm. So I could see how if the water levels weren't correct and the family didn't know to hold on, that kid went flying forward.
Now, right. Now it seems his height was a little bit of an issue too, because it seems like that. And I have had a family member deal with a broken eye socket, and it is no fun at all. I mean, it messes with your sinuses. It's a pretty nasty injury, and it's a pretty intense injury. You have to hit pretty hard to break your eye socket. That's part of your cranial structure. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously he hit hard, and obviously his height sounds like it was part of an issue with is there a height restriction on?
Yeah,
yes,
it's, what is it, 42 inches?
I think it's 40, it's either 42 or 44.
It's the lower one, whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, I think the rides go 42, 46, 48, 54.
Okay.
So it's probably 42 because it's one of the first ones Samuel was able to go on.
Yeah, I've always been able to take the boys on it. The thing is, in the front, there's this padding thing, like a, I don't want to say a pillow, but it's like a pad where if you hit it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking now, if you were in the back section, there's a chair like that separates two, and I don't know if there's a padding on that.
I don't think there is.
Yeah, so that might have been part of the situation there. Now,
it also sounds like Knott's is culpable for some of this as well by not monitoring. It sounds like there was some leaves in the water level monitor, and that's why it bottomed out, you know, as it hit that run out.
And there is kind of a swirling thing of debris a lot there, just because of how the water goes at the end, and then the log turns.
And the log, this log ride is one of the first, if not the first log flume ride in Southern California.
Yeah, I believe it's the first.
So, you know the first rider on that?
John Wayne.
Thank
John. Right. John, and right. John and Ethan Wayne.
That's right.
His son.
Good on you.
I worked at Knott's Berry Farm.
And he did not get hurt.
But yeah, so it sounds like at least Knott's shares a little bit of the responsibility for this ride. And, you know, sorry this kid had to go through this because that's a terrible injury. All right. Diane, you have news story number two.
Well, the countdown to 2018 begins at Universal Studios for the first time ever. Universal Studios rings in 2018 with Hollywood's biggest New Year's Eve celebration, Eve, on Sunday, December 31st, 2017, with extended theme park hours until 1 a.m. The New Year's Eve event, the first ever for Universal Studios Hollywood, is included in the price of theme park admission and invites guests to spend the day and night enjoying its many popular rides and attractions, with a special park-wide countdown party featuring multiple entertainment hubs with DJs and live music starting at 9 p.m. Universal Plaza, the Simpsons Plaza, located adjacent to the Simpsons ride, and an area near Jurassic Park, the ride, will transform into three uniquely themed party hubs that will culminate simultaneously at midnight with a traditional New Year's countdown and a spectacular fireworks display. Food and beverages, including specialty desserts, champagne, beer, and wine, as well as 2018 memorabilia, will be available for purchase. Guests can toast the new year with the spirit of the holidays already resonating throughout Universal Studios Hollywood. Christmas in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter introduces the magic of Christmas at Hogwarts. Several times each night, guests can enjoy amazing images inspired by the Harry Potter films as they come to life in breathtaking digital light projection on the backdrop of Hogwarts Castle. And with extended hours on
Hogwarts
December,
was a totally different experience.
With extended hours on December 31st, the guests can also celebrate the final day of Grinchmas with the Grinch, his faithful dog Max, and a roster of Whoville Whos.
I have to say, and this has nothing to do with their New Year's Eve celebration, but I just listened to another podcast, and they went to Grinchmas at Universal Studios in Orlando. We get totally gypped. their whole Grinch's experience at Universal Orlando is this amazing, they have the Seuss Landing. It's this totally amazing, immersive experience. And I think we get a show on the tram stop and like another small show in the plaza. But anyways, so okay. That just totally just popped into my head. So Diane, we're going to talk a little bit later about your, trip to Universal Studios, and did you get to experience some of these things that they mentioned, the Grinchmas and the holidays at Hogwarts?
Was it magical?
Unfortunately, actually, we did not stay into the evening, so we missed out on the Hogwarts celebration. And I have to tell you, it was at capacity. We picked a poor day to go.
Oh my goodness.
To reach capacity at Universal is a feat in and, itself.
Shameless plug, if you are interested in seeing some of the video from the lighting the castle projection show at Hogwarts, just visit our Facebook page. We have some of the official the Universal Studios video, and it shows the show, and it looks like a lot of fun. So, okay, so New Year's Eve at Universal Studios Hollywood. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
I went there last year for New Year's Eve and was surprised that they closed at 10 o'clock.
What?
This is why this is their first ever. Last year I was there with my best friend and we spent a good part of the day there and the park closed at 10. They didn't offer any kind of celebration at all. I believe they were doing something at City Walk for the New Year's countdown on the big screen where they usually have the Christmas tree in the center.
And I don't know if they mentioned it in the story that you just read. But they are very clear that they're not doing anything at City Walk this year. All of their New Year's Eve celebration festivities are going to be taking place inside Universal Studios.
So they've transferred everything.
Yeah, and I don't know if that has to – maybe they got complaints from the neighbors. If you've never been to Universal Studios Hollywood, it is literally in a neighborhood in Studio City, California. It's surrounded by houses.
There's actually – when you do the studio tour, there's – balconies overlooking the plane wreckage. That to me is just so fascinating.
Yeah, it's totally built into a neighborhood. I mean, well, the neighborhood has sprung up around it over the last, I don't know, 80 years or however long Universal Studios has been there.
And I can't imagine that there'd be any neighborhood complaints any more than there would be if they had it at City Walk. It's half a mile away. I mean, if you walk the distance between City Walk and Universal Studios, it's so close. It's the same proximity. There's not going to get any less complaints, if not anymore.
If you think about it, it sounds like Comcast has spent the better part of the last year trying to catch up with Disney, and they've been challenging Disney more and more out in Florida. And we've probably worked it at one point. Disneyland at New Year's Eve is one of the premier places to go in Southern California. If you have a family or you're not into, the traditional New Year's Eve, party, then a lot of people will go to Disneyland. And by a lot, I mean
a lot
of people. Yeah.
Gates close early on in the day because so many are trying to get there and they're handing out horns and hats. And it's a safe place to go to celebrate. It's family friendly. Obviously the park normally is, but for New Year's, there's not a lot of drinking and partying. It's family oriented fun.
So the point with this whole discussion is that it sounds like Universal's trying to create their own destination atmosphere for Universal Studios Hollywood. And the most amazing thing is that, whereas I think, and it's included in Disney too, is that they're not charging any extra for all of this. They're going to stay open till 1 o'clock. They're going to, have, the difference is that they will have alcohol there because they do serve alcohol at Universal Studios Hollywood. But it does sound like they're going to stay up until 1. They're going to have, DJs. They're going to have parties, party favors and, noisemakers and stuff like that. So we will see if this takes. I think it's just a very interesting.
It's kind of a branch out of the not. I don't want to say not family friendly because that's not necessarily true, but more adult, right?
Maybe a little bit more adult oriented.
What they should do is get on more TV shows. If you think about it, sitcoms, so many sitcoms go to Disneyland or Disney World. Universal needs to start getting in TV shows.
And there are, and with Comcast and NBC Universal and all that, I'm actually really surprised that they don't.
And with them being a studio, yeah, exactly, a working studio. They don't. You'd think they'd have plenty of shows they could do that on.
Does NBC have any family shows right now?
They have their comedies and they have their, sitcoms and things. I mean, it was always, Full House went to, Disney World.
Yeah, Roseanne
every year.
Roseanne went to Disney World.
Yeah.
Brady Bunch. Where did the Brady Bunch go?
Brady Bunch went to Hawaii.
No, they also went, there was a whole episode with a theme park they went.
Oh, yes, when the dad was doing the.
Yeah, and they had to do like the relay race with the blueprints.
I think that was actually filmed at Six Flags. One of the Six Flags parks. I don't know if it was necessarily
what was
here.
Step by Step did
That's
Six Flags.
That's what I was
going
to say. Step by Step. Yeah. What was that one?
Step by Step was filmed at Six Flags. Like right. The whole opening credits were filmed at Six
step
Flags.
Step by Step. Everybody like, I was friends. One of my best friends growing up, Chris Castile, was the son on that show. He was in Beethoven too. I got to meet Suzanne Summers through him. It was awesome. He was a cool kid.
My closest connection to Step by Step is my friend used to live in South Pasadena, and where the museum is in South Pasadena, that opening shot where it says Port Place, Wisconsin is actually down the street from the South Pasadena Gold Line station. And it still looks like it does, in the opening credits.
But this is what it's like living in Southern California. Everybody has some connection.
But you're absolutely right, though. But what is it? Modern Family went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's
Blackish
not.
Went to Disneyland.
Maybe it's the writers that get to pick. Like, they don't take, like, you know, they don't take orders from
their corporate. I guess
that's not true. They have to. What am I thinking?
But I mean, if it's a studio, they should have shows that are going to their location to show it as a family destination.
Yeah. No. Sorry, I vote no on that.
You've been overruled.
The board has decided.
Well, this will be interesting to see what the response is to this New Year's Eve business at Universal Studios. My problem with it is Universal Studios is still very much a half day park to me. Like, if you go on a Monday in February, you can get through Universal Studios in 4 or 5 hours.
So obviously, you're not a big enough Harry Potter fan.
Clearly,
there we go.
I wasn't, and then I went to the Wizarding World out in Orlando, and now I'm a huge Harry Potter fan.
I'm sorry, have you read the books?
I have not read the books.
Like I said, here we go.
That's but, a whole other topic. I could
give you the reasons why the Harry Potter Universal Orlando is better than the Harry Potter.
Oh no, don't tease me because I want to go. I can't. But we go, my friend for her birthday, we always go to Universal Studios just for Harry Potter World. Her birthday just so happens to be on the anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts. But we spend like all day. We do everything in Universal Studios, but we always find ourselves back at the Harry Potter World. Like,
yeah. And I will say it's a wonderful experience. The Harry Potter World. And that's what actually made me become a Harry Potter fan and get into the canon and get into the movies is that we went to Diagon Alley and we rode the Hogwarts Express at Universal Orlando. And I had my wife who's read the books and seen the movies and, you know, literally bought the t-shirt. I had zero idea what I was looking at. I just knew that it was really cool and really themed and really immersive.
Did she cry?
She did a little bit. Yeah.
I did too, yeah. My first time. And yeah. I just been to the one in California, but yeah, yeah, I was.
Right. Why would you cry? I don't get
because
it.
Because it's so magical.
Are you serious?
You're talking to someone who wears her Hogwarts robes to Universal Studios every year and brings her wand.
John seems to be painfully aware.
Here's the thing. Fact. Okay.
John's like, that's why I stay 8 steps behind.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't go.
she doesn't even care if I exist at that point. Seriously.
All right. Well, that's again, we'll see how this goes. All right. And so, I'm going to do the final news story, and it's actually kind of a sad one. Disneyland candy maker dies after 43 years. Rob McHargue, I hope I got that right, who spent 43 years at Disneyland devoted to the craft of sugary treats, died suddenly of natural causes on December 2nd, according to his brother Mike. Shortly after taking a short vacation from his job making seasonal candy canes for Disneyland's most dedicated fans, who wait in line, sometimes for hours, to get one. In January 2017, McHargue began wearing a special blue name tag, signifying that he'd received the Walt Disney Legacy Award, the highest honor cast members, crew members, and Imagineers can receive at Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. I always knew Rob was special because of how he treated others, candy production manager Kelly Oxley Hallbrick said in a statement. Our candy production cast looked to Rob for his history and heritage as well as technical candy making skills. His endearing laugh and infectious smile will be missed by guests and cast alike. Mike McHargue said his brother's death was totally unexpected and that he'd planned to return to work the following Tuesday. So we just wanted to make a mention of that and send our thoughts and support out to his fellow cast members and his family. I don't know if you guys know this, the Disneyland candy canes are a total thing. People line up for hours. There are wristbands involved.
Wow.
There are lines before the park opens at 6 a.m. involved. And this guy was the face of the Disneyland candy cane making operation. And they're huge. They're about a foot and a half high, and you can watch them getting made in Main Street. So if you've ever been to the Candy Palace window at Disneyland, I'm sure you have seen this cast member making candy. Samantha Brown did a whole, anytime they would do a video feature on any travel show or cooking show about, you know, candy canes at Disneyland or holiday traditions and travel holiday traditions, he would be the front and center person. So just very, very sad, and it's tough to lose anybody, especially at this time of year.
Sounds like he really loved what he did, though, and that's what's cool. And, but, you know,
and that's I mean, outside of Disneyland, what, you know, where do you see candy makers nowadays?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I mean, and people that make individual candy, you know, not just in a factory. And anybody that's worked in Disneyland for 40 years or plus is also a rare commodity nowadays. The turnover is incredibly high there for a variety of reasons. But, you know, these longtime cast members are becoming fewer and fewer, far between. That's a discussion for another show. All right. So we're going to go on. We're going to move on to our Holidays in the Parks recap. And we're going to begin by talking to Diane. I want to know more about SeaWorld. I'm going to read you a quick overview, and then we'll toss it over to her. So I was not even aware that San Diego Universal Studio, that San Diego SeaWorld did a Christmas celebration. I know they do out in Orlando. San Diego's premier Christmas celebration continues. SeaWorld's holiday traditions are in full swing with a new breathtaking live nativity musical featuring more than 30 carols, storytelling puppets, and live animals, camels, a donkey, doves, sheep, llamas. Oh, wondrous night, the greatest story never told tells the Christmas story from a different point of view through the eyes of the animals. The stage show is part of SeaWorld's Christmas celebration now through January 6th, 2018. The most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, is back this holiday season. SeaWorld San Diego is the only theme park on the West Coast where people can meet this lovable character. Park guests can cozy up at Santa's Christmas Village and enjoy story time with Mrs. Claus, share their wish list, and take pictures with Santa and encounter real reindeer. Seasonal favorites that have made a seasonal Christmas, SeaWorld Christmas celebration, a family tradition, have also returned, including Dolphin Island Christmas and Clyde and Seymour's Christmas special. SeaWorld is decked out like never before with more than a million lights, hundreds of Christmas trees, and 5,000 feet of garland. That's a lot of garland. It's called a mile of garland.
Plus for a second, I thought you said garlic, and I was like, whoa.
To keep out the vampires.
That's their Halloween celebration. Plus the lights of SeaWorld's 320-foot sky tower, Tree of Lights, Southern California's largest Christmas tree, dubious, dance in sync with classic holiday songs. For more information, visit www.seaworldsandiego.com. And Diane, what did you think of SeaWorld's Christmas celebration?
Well, my daughter and I had been in the past. We haven't been in about 4 years, I think it was, maybe five. And in the past, they had had a nice little area set aside to meet Santa and have some of the characters. They had like a little ballerina. They had a Jack in the Box and a couple characters roaming around. But this year, it is pretty breathtaking. They've reset all the areas. When you first walk in the park, there's all the touch pools right there in the front now. Which is really kind of cool. You used to have to go all the way in depth, all the way to the back, I think it was, to get to the touch pools and stuff. That's but it's cool. All up front. It keeps the kids occupied, maybe while the parents are taking care of business up front. But as far as Christmas, it is absolutely exploded.
Is Shamu wearing a Santa hat?
Around the park, you can see definite signs of that. But their decor is just breathtaking. I mean, the trees out front have been decorated with aquatic life and in blues, different blue hues. It's just really pretty to look at. The Santa's Village has gone above and beyond. Santa has his own little house that you can go visit and take pictures in. Mrs. Claus and a bunch of character elves run around. It's very interactive. They have an elf dance party.
That's cool.
They have story time with Mrs. Claus. She comes out and retells the night before Christmas. They also have snow that they manufacture with lovely little bubbles. It's fun. They have a Christmas Village area where you can shop to your heart's content. They have dozens of little trees
for all
and
your
themes.
Whale and sea life themed Christmas
trees. They have a tree full of penguin ornaments, tree full of whale ornaments.
And those are tortoises. Ornaments to buy or just
to buy. Yes, absolutely. They are, it's a Christmas shop and they will personalize them for free. It's really nice offering. The prices are really
Wait, really?
Decent.
They'll personalize them for free?
They will.
They charge like $20 at Disneyland to do that. Like, I'm not even joking. They charge like $20 at Disneyland.
Yeah, no,
to do
this is included. And the ornaments range, I think the cheapest one was, I shouldn't say cheapest, the least expensive one was about $5.
The more affordable one.
Yeah, that's, there you go. That was my speed. And then I think the most expensive one I saw was maybe $15. So they're definitely reasonable, good quality. They had lots of stuffed plush. Very fun. The character themes are great too, because they have the costume characters. They have the little penguin running around and
nice.
And a shark, and they're all dressed in holiday vests and That's hats. Funny. And it's really cute.
Oh my gosh, Samuel would love a shark in a vest.
Sure.
I think, are the penguins in a vest? I love penguins.
Like, there is
penguins
a penguin.
Are cool.
Is yeah. he wearing a vest?
I have pictures to prove it. So
I feel like penguins always show up in their like formal wear anyway.
Yeah, just throw a bow on them. It looks like a tuxedo.
Right? It's a little overdressed for every occasion.
Or maybe you're underdressed.
Maybe I, you know, yeah. that's entirely possible. I showed up to the podcast today wearing my Disney
World
Christmas
holiday
shirt. So, was it busy when you were there?
It was not obscenely busy at all. We actually got there at park opening. The park is open from 11 to 7:30 on the weekends. It's a little less hours. I think it's 11 to 5 on the weekdays. You don't need that much time to go through the park. You really don't. It's like you were mentioning about Universal. It's a 5-hour trip most. But to capture everything, the daytime shows, the nighttime shows, you do need to spend all day.
What do you and if there's to? Less, sorry.
Okay, good.
If there's a lot less people there than like if what you're used to at like a
like Disneyland
or whatever, like that actually makes it kind of a lot more special, I think. That's kind of cool.
Absolutely. I think massive crowds do build your stress level, and
for
I
sure.
think it makes it less enjoyable. The longest we had to wait for anything was just taking seats 15 minutes prior to a show.
And what show was that?
Well, we were able to see, during the daytime, we saw Dolphin Island, which was very fun. Christmas time at Dolphin Island. Those animals are just incredible. They're so smart, and the acrobatics that they can do is in very impressive. And I always love watching the dolphins.
Did you get to watch the live nativity thing? Actually sounds very, very cool. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of it on the SeaWorld San Diego website, and it's just, they've got like a dozen camels on stage and all kinds of different manger animals of all sorts. So did you get a chance to catch that?
We did. A Wondrous Night was pretty wondrous, actually. We first of all got really good seating. We were in the third row, just off center. And once it began, it was narrated through song only. I shouldn't say only, pardon me. The narration part was also done with puppetry. There were three animals, a dove and a donkey and a sheep, that all told their points of view using puppets. It was very fun. It was almost like a nativity version of Avenue Q, where you had all the...
we're all from Southern California. Are we all old enough to remember the glory of Christmas at the Christmas Cathedral,
yeah.
you know, with thousands of... No, Randis is shaking her
well,
head.
Well, we're old enough, but I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Okay. So there used to be... So at the Crystal Cathedral is...
Oh, yes.
In Garden Grove, California.
Yeah, yeah.
And every year, the Robert Schuller Church mm-hmm. would put on this massive Christmas pageant, and it was, you know, a cast of thousands, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, it was live animals, and it was, you know, the retelling of the Christmas story. But it was done, you know, with camels and sheep, and
yeah.
they would walk them down, you know, and the Crystal Cathedral is a very
beautiful
landmark
yeah.
in Southern California. So every year they would do the glory of Christmas. So this is, you know what I'm talking about, right, Diane?
Absolutely. And so I think you're right on this. I think it's a scaled down version of that. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's,
I mean,
it's very fun. They have the carolers, the people that narrate through song, come out and, it's very up-tempo. Even they're almost like remixes of a classic favorites, and it's just segmented, and one leads into another. And when they say there's about 30 songs, they're not kidding. There are about 30 different songs. The show takes approximately 35 minutes. It's the longest show
wow.
that they have there at the park. But it is just, it's beautiful with the lighting and the smoke effect. And the animals were crazy. I mean, they brought three live camels just walking right out
yeah,
in front of us.
I'm watching.
Very
I'm looking
cool.
at right here.
It brought me to tears a little bit. It was very touching.
That sounds super fun. Would you say this last week on the Six Flags show, we talked about, and even with the Universal New Year's Eve, it sounded like they're trying to gear some of these other things towards Six Flags was, you know, more families. Maybe Universal Studios is trying to go a little bit more adult. And you have an adult daughter.
I do.
So you went with her. And so did she enjoy it? You guys sounded like you guys really enjoyed it.
Have a lot of fun, I think, wherever we go. But honestly, it's, for example, we went to the elf dance party just to see what it was all about. And it's geared for the littles. It really is. 6 to 12 age range. But some of the elves got her up and dancing in the conga line with them. And she's, you know, the oldest one in line, but she's having a blast. And I think that's just, that's her personally.
Right.
I mean, a lot of 19-year-olds won't do that. But she just had a blast. And we left very happy last night.
That's cool. What did you pay to get in? Do you remember?
Well, actually, we bought the annual passes. I bought them for her for a gift for Christmas. It's only $10 more than the day pass, and it includes all parking and admission year-round and discounts through the park, including interactive things with the animals.
So I'm just looking on the annual pass website. So single park ticket for SeaWorld SeaWorld San Diego is $69.99, and you said you can buy the annual pass for just a $10 upgrade?
Well, they had it... Actually, they had it marked at $89.99. I don't know if that's...
Maybe that may be just a
it ripped you off, man.
Hey, honestly, I think $100
so
is 90, well worth
it. $99.99 is what they have advertised on the website. Or, thanks, Disney, you can pay $8.34 a month for your monthly payment. So there's that. So would you say it was good? I mean, it's about an hour and a half drive from Orange County.
It was about an hour and a half each way. And it was, I think it's a great investment because, you know, if you have nothing to do on a weekend and you're like, hey, we got no plans. What can we do? Let's take a nice drive.
Yeah.
Go down to San Diego, spend the day, have dinner down there and come on back. I think it is a wise investment. I really do.
Great. Well, thank you, Diane. We're going to go back. We're going to circle back around to you in just a second for your thoughts on the, Universal Studios celebration. Brandis and John, why don't you tell us about your experiences? And I know, Diane, this was part of your whirlwind tour of the Southern California theme park scene. Knott's Merry Farm, what did you guys think this year?
They don't have a Santa, do they?
They do.
Oh, okay.
That was that long line.
Well, I had a
when I went in to get the wine and you thought that was that long line was just to get that? That was for Santa.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know. I didn't realize he was in there.
It's actually.
They didn't make a big deal. I mean, don't look. I don't know.
It's a very good Santa. And I know a lot of my friends that have annual passes and kids go there instead of the mall.
So from November 17th to January 7th, every winter, Knott's Berry Farm celebrates the merriest of seasons as the park transforms into Knott's Merry Farm, a Christmas celebration for all ages. Spend the most wondrous time of the year with your family at Knott's Merry Farm, enjoying thrilling attractions, live entertainment, Christmas Crafts Village, which is my favorite part, festive food, lavish decorations, and a nightly snow in Ghost Town. Knott's Merry Farm is Southern California's ultimate holiday festival full of Christmas activities and attractions. So I know we talked about this a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
Have you guys had a chance to go back and experience it again?
We made cookies.
Oh.
There. Well, I made cookies. She went and got wine. Well, I made cookies with the wine. No joke.
They have the tastiest spiced wine.
They do. Is it still in that little barn area?
Yes. Okay. Yes. They have so many great Christmas treats there. Peppermint, oh my gosh, what's it called? Cotton candy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's exciting.
And I didn't know that that's actually made from candy canes.
Oh, is it like a mix-in thing?
No. I saw it actually not at Knott's Berry Farm, but at some community event. They take the candy canes and they crush them with a mallet, and then they put it in the candy cane maker.
Oh,
and
like in the sugar spinner.
It is amazing. But yeah, so it's actual, peppermint candy cane. They had boysenberry crepes. They had tamales this year. I did not have the tamales, but I heard they were not that great.
Yeah, that sounds.
We didn't get to try the pizza. I really wanted to try that.
Pizzas are usually good. Like, I know they sound weird, but they're usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had for a while. They had a really good like nog, like a really like alcoholic eggnog, and the spiced wine I know is
it's not judged.
That's one of my favorite things about Knott's is that you can get various alcohols. The mixed drinks are generally at that new bar.
Mm-hmm.
And normally you could only get beer and wine inside, but they do have a lot of great beers at the saloon. And during the Boysenberry Festival, they have beer tasting and wine tasting. But during the holidays, you have so many more options.
Yeah, I know they have that great Boysenberry wine.
The best thing, though, I think about Knott's Berry Farm during the season is just the environment. It feels very Christmassy when you're walking down Ghost Town.
The snow is magical.
It's really just a kind of a a vibe, you know what I mean?
Did you guys get a chance to catch on to the last little, thinking back now, we talked about the ice show, and we talked about some of the other
shows. We didn't get to see the ice show. We normally every...
Oh, damn, that's right. Hey, welcome. That's back for
me. I saw it. Merry Christmas, Snoopy. It was awesome. I cry every time.
I love their ice shows.
I do, too. I am a big fan of... Not the ice show.
They've made some. I know they've made some changes over the years. Was this a new show or was it the same show?
It was a little different than the one we had seen previously.
Isn't it a new show every year?
I think they try and change a couple things up every year just to make it unique. It's traditional carols skated to.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a bunch of ice skating.
Right. But it's just brilliant.
Did they do the same?
I know. I guess I'm getting old. I love watching ice skating.
Did they do the same bit they used to do years ago with they do Linus and the doesn't anybody know them?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a standard staple that stays throughout. Yeah, that one they do every show.
It was cute. When I saw it. I mean, Snoopy comes in and plugs in the Christmas lights, and you know,
he didn't do that. They didn't do the plugging in of the tree of the doghouse.
Oh, really?
No, that wasn't part of it this year.
Did you catch any other entertainment, Diane?
Oh yes, we saw the saloon show, which was just Christmas-ified. Oh, cool.
Yeah, that we got to check that out. Yeah,
that was fun.
Did you go on the train?
We did not go on the train.
Because the carolers come on there and do a whole, like, it's like you've gone back in time.
Oh my gosh.
That's very fun.
Instead of the train robbery, they come and they sing and then they talk to you. And
that's really neat. We did see the carolers on the street, but we did not see them on the train.
They get on the train too.
I think Diane and I have a mutual friend that is at Knott's Merry Farm. Did you get a chance? Was he there?
You know what we did? We saw him at his meet and greet post show, but we did not see his performance, unfortunately.
Diane and I have a mutual friend that is the mayor of Ghost Town.
Yes, he is. He's very funny.
That's awesome. So a scale of 1 to 10. I mean, I love Knott's Merry Farm. I have not gotten a chance to go in a couple of years. I'm really hoping to be able to go at least maybe after post-Christmas. I love the Christmas Crafts Fair. Again, I used to work at Knott's Merry Farm. I used to work in the chicken dinner restaurant, and that was always just a great. It's such a much more low key experience than Disneyland. Disneyland's very, very festive and it's very crowded.
It feels like history, you know, like Americana kind of thing.
Very much so. Okay. Well, great. Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. It's a scale of 1 to 10. What would you give this year's Knott's Merry Farm?
Brandy. As compared to previous years or compared to other parks?
As compared to previous years.
I'd say probably an 8.
Okay. And as compared to other parks?
Well, I've never done Christmas at other parks.
Well, there we go. Diane, compared to previous years, what would you give, or based on your experiences, what would you give Knott's Berry Farm this year?
I'm right along with you. I think about an 8.
John?
I'll say 8, too. I like to say 10 for everything because it's just not fair.
Well, it doesn't have the lollipops made in the snow this year.
That's right. The poured,
the craft village is
But it's different. They're more interactive.
This year.
They're more interactive.
What do you say about the craft village?
It's a bit less this year.
Oh, really?
Like,
is the crafts part really the best?
Oh,
sorry.
and I will put disclosure. I never buy anything from the craft.
No,
fair.
I just love looking at it. But it's
like how much soap can they make? Like there's soap everywhere.
That's the thing is it's kind of the same home businesses as it's. They just need to add more.
How many times can you get your name written on a grain of rice?
Yeah. It's not just that, but it's like you said, it's all soap and homemade lotions and candles. And then there's that one booth that sells the weird like patchwork jackets and stuff and purses. Yeah. And it's the same stuff that she had last year. So I don't think she's really selling it. So why is she still there?
Actually, there is this one guy though that sells like these comic book looking poster type things that it has like a mix of what's popular and like comic book stuff. Like there's like Pokemon one. Like I know it sounds dumb, but it actually looks
it's
really
like
cool.
Crossovers.
Yeah. And he's a really good artist. And so I guess I like those stands.
Now,
I don't know.
In the past, I know they've offered free admission to
they
just
are doing
the
that. Yes.
Because I didn't notice them
doing it's
that
between
this
certain
year.
Hours. And you
I don't
still
think
have to pay for
anymore,
parking.
Is it?
I don't know. But I do know they were advertising it, and I always wonder, how do they keep them out of the rest of the park?
I remember in the past, there was like almost like a toll booth built between the saloon and the train station.
I thought you had to wear a sticker, like,
and
it had to be seen.
Oh, okay. Okay, because that was for Knott's Scary Farm. We had to do that for early entry. We saw guys trying to sneak in.
Of course you did.
And rightfully so. I mean,
yeah.
They were trying to
do a good job at it, but.
Yeah, they were very obvious.
All right.
Well, so what about you? What do you give it?
I haven't been. I have not been this year.
If you had to guess, what would you?
You know, it sounds like you guys had a really, really good time there. So, you know, in the past years, I would always say, you know, 7, 8. I've always enjoyed Knott's Berry Farm. It sounds like they've even kicked it up a notch there. Did anybody catch? Well, not Billy Hill, but they in previous years they had Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies.
Oh, I love them again. Oh, yeah. I love them. Yeah,
we haven't seen them for Christmas, but we've seen them several times.
They are there after they do the daytime performances of Gift of the Magi and the Christmas Carol, and Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies.
They've moved them. They used to be in that barn area, and now they've moved them to the.
They're in the Birdcage.
Theater, correct? Mm-hmm.
Which is a good place to see them. Yeah. I think because they're like you're right up close and personal with them. Yeah. It feels like they're talking to you.
Right.
Yeah, they put on a good show. They did the music for the Log Ride Layover at Halloween.
Oh,
very cool.
My friend was the vocalist on that. That's so funny.
Okay, this is also part of living in Southern California. Either you have worked at a theme park, or you know someone that works at a theme park, or you know someone that works in the entertainment business. It's
you've either been in a commercial or know somebody who's been in a movie,
or they filmed the movie down the street from your house, or it's all part and parcel.
My brother does the audio install, so there you go.
There you go. All right, well, thank you guys. That was a good wrap up to Knott's Merry Farm. Merry Farm. 2017. I'm going to talk about the Festival of the Holidays at the Disneyland Resort, which is part of their Christmas celebration. This takes place over at California Adventure, and they have the Festive Foods Marketplace. They also have some great entertainment. I don't have the official kind of description. It just says discover a holiday celebration inspired by diverse cultural festivities. This one had some hits and misses for me this year. They have the AP Sip and Saver Pass, which is the annual pass holder Sip and Saver Pass. Each Sip and Saver Pass for annual pass holders is $45, including tax, and consists of a commemorative 2017 Festival Holidays lanyard and 8 coupons redeemable for food and beverages offerings, excluding alcohol, at these select Festival Foods Marketplace locations. Chips and Breads, Joy to the Sauce, Spicy Celebration, Brews and Bites, Holiday Duets, Classic Crocs and Casseroles, Blissfully Braised, A Twist on Tradition, Winter Sliderland, Grandma's Recipes, and Festive Holiday Extras. Pass holders can receive a special AP button at each marketplace location with the Sip and Saver Pass redemption while supplies last. Each marketplace offers one unique button color scheme with 11 total designs available. Buttons are available only with the redemption of the Sip and Saver Pass coupon and are not available for purchase separately. The Sip and Saver Pass is available for sale at the AP corner at Sonoma Terrace. No additional discounts apply on this item. We enjoyed the Festival of the Holidays. We enjoyed the decorations. We enjoyed the multiculturalness of the entire celebration. The Grizzly River Run area, that Grizzly Creek area, is beautiful. It is done up so well. Diane, have you gotten a chance to go over there and experience that?
I haven't, actually.
Yeah.
I went outside of Disney pretty much this year. Yeah. And I'm just reminded myself that today my pass expires. So
you should come with us later.
I need to get online right now. Pardon me while I step away from the mic.
So the Santa has been moved over to the Grizzly Creek Challenge Trail. It's a very woodsy kind of, you know,
that makes sense, kind of.
Northern California type of experience. They've got these great LED jars, you know, filled with LED lights hanging from the trees. They've got, if you're familiar with California Adventure, they've got the big bear, the Grizzly River Run bear. He's got his Christmas sweater on, and it's just very, very well done. Decoration-wise, it looks very beautiful, and it's a little bit calmer than Disneyland. It's a little bit less hectic. They have some great entertainment. They've got a new swing band out there at the Paradise Pier stage, and they've got this great group called, oh my gosh, I can't remember their name now. I'm going to look this up really quick.
Changing gears while you're looking that up here. I wanted to compliment you on that. Blissfully Braised.
Blissfully Braised. I mean, yeah, I love
how did you do that? That was good. That's a tongue twister for sure. When you said it, I was like, wow.
Is it blissfully or blissfully?
Well, now you made me feel stupid.
Blissfully.
Yeah. Okay, blissfully. Whatever it was.
Briss is totally different.
Oh,
yeah. It's very, very much. I can't.
No, I think you're right. I think it is less crowded. I think people go to Disneyland because that's where the longtime tradition stands.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to find yourself shoulder to shoulder.
And the bear wears a sweater because it's cold.
Right. And it's a totally like ugly Christmas sweater too.
And you know, Santa's in the woods.
You know, I'm always offended at some of the sweaters people call ugly.
Mostly Kosher. That's their name.
So So it was permissible.
It was. So mostly kosher. It was. I told you. They were like, no. So their entertainment there, the sound celebrates Kwanzaa and Christmas. The mariachi divas again this year were always a fun time. A lot of Feliz Navidad on a loop.
Do they have tamales?
They do have tamales. I have not been brave enough to try them. Their pozole last year was sort of, it was all right.
It sounds good.
Well, did they bring in an abuela to make it?
They did not. But they had their cocoa celebration, they actually had like Mexican hot chocolate that was actually very, very good. It's 90 degrees outside, so I didn't for Halloween here. Mostly kosher honors Hanukkah while weaving together musical styles of klezmer, jazz, Latin, rock, and hip hop. It's actually very, very entertaining.
That's eclectic.
It's so multicultural, and I've said that several times, but yeah, it's interesting to see in the middle of this kind of Christmas celebration, celebration of Hanukkah, and it's their very, very talented musicians. They were so popular last year that not only did they bring them back this year, they actually trained a sort of satellite group. They've franchised themselves off, and they now have
like a B team
that actually goes out to Disney World and performs on the stage in front of the America Pavilion for the Festival of the Holidays at Epcot.
And on their days off, they do bar mitzvahs.
They do, yeah. they're available for parties, and visit our Facebook page for booking information. No, don't do that. We have no idea. The Fat Cat Swinger Bands brings in its brassy, classy swinging celebrations of irresistible holiday music. Those guys are awesome. They're very, very good. They have a lot of their high energy. They play a lot of like swingy Christmas carols, and that guy is the second coming of Dean Martin, their lead singer.
Really?
Yeah, he's really, so if you get a chance before the festival holidays is over, you should get a chance to go out and see
that. I will renew my pass today. Get down there.
Yeah. No, we'll be down there later too, so you should come join us. So the only thing, and I will say this, we are big fans, my wife and I, of the, Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. And in the last couple of years, the Disneyland Resort has brought a taste of those sort of festival style food booths to California Adventure. And they have their International Food and Wine Festival at California Adventure. They have their Festival of Holidays food booths where you can buy your Sip and Savor Pass. Every year we're just a little disappointed. At the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, you can usually get a decent sized, appetizer sized bite for $4 or $5. They have not figured out the magic formula of how to keep their food stocked, at California Adventure, and B, I mean, this has been going on for at least 2 years now. And every year it outstrips demand, their supply, and every booth that we went to seemed to have something that was, oh, well, we don't have that. Oh, well, we're out of that. Or if it was a garnish, we ordered some Brussels sprouts. We're supposed to have a cranberry garnish, on them. And well, we're out of the garnish. Well, we got the Brussels sprouts anyways. And they were just sort of dry Brussels sprouts with goat cheese in them. So,
That ruins the whole holiday feel of it, you know? It does.
How could you put goat cheese on Brussels sprouts without a fruit?
Right. So, and they were totally. The average price of an entree or a tray here, a little appetizer, as opposed to Epcot, which is $4 or $5, is like $7 or $8. And the portion sizes aren't any bigger. Now, some of it's very, very good. We had some of the scalloped potatoes, chopped cheesy potatoes. We had some of the sliders. They had a ham slider and a turkey slider, like a holiday, mix of.
Is this just a food and wine festival, or was this an international food and wine festival?
This was part of their Festival of the Holidays celebration. Okay. And so, it's all part and parcel to their, it's very much themed. So that's very much like there's the Hispanic, flavors booth. There's, blissfully braised. The winter Ciderland is where we had the ham and turkey sliders. So it's all very, they had some, it's very good, and it's also some that's not so good. And I think the biggest pain, and we weren't the only ones that were experiencing this as we're sitting down and, trying to enjoy our food. More and more of the comments over and over that we heard were, well, they were out of this. They were out of their,
that's a shame.
They didn't, they weren't able to keep it. And again, they've been doing this for a couple of years now. So you would think at some point they would figure out how to.
So what's the 1 to 10?
1 to 10. If we entertainment, 9. I like to give a 9 because I always used a little room for improvement, but it's a 10. Okay. Entertainment was a 10. Decorations are a 10. The food booths, probably a 5 or a 6.
Okay.
So
you should really go to Knott's for the Boysenberry Festival then.
We'd
they
love,
don't
we
run out of food.
We love the Boysenberry Festival last year. We went last year. Now, I will say, if you are a Disneyland annual pass holder, the Sip and Saver Pass is a great deal because you can get one of the more expensive things on there, and it's going to instantly pay for itself. It's 8 coupons and at $8 an entree.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good deal. It's going to pay for itself right there. So I would recommend if we do go back, and I will be going back probably later today, I will definitely get my Sip and Saver Pass, and that way we can. Now they had some of the alcoholic beverages. They had a pomegranate mule, excellent, and they had a eggnog latte. With rum in it, also excellent. But it's just the food portion of it.
You could get that at Starbucks. You just have to bring your own rum.
Bring your own.
Yeah, but Starbucks is not as fun, I'm sure. There's no music.
There's a difference between.
I don't know. Chris and I always had fun at Starbucks.
That's right.
It's a difference between rumming it up at Starbucks and rumming it up at Disney. One is just.
Yeah, it'd be weird. That's probably how you get fired there, right?
Yeah. All right. So, lastly, this holiday season, celebrate Christmas in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, where Hogsmeade is transformed in wondrous spirit and experience an all new holiday spectacle with dazzling lights and music cast against the majestic backdrop of Hogwarts Castle, which Diane did not see.
It was so magical.
I'm shaking my head at her.
So Diane, do you have any thoughts on the Christmas? You saw Grinchmas, you saw.
We did. We did go to Grinchmas. We had been in years prior. It's one thing that I do miss that they don't do anymore is in that big plaza right after you walk in the main entrance, they used to have the giant tree, and they'd have celebrities come out and do the retelling of The Grinch That Stole Christmas. Everybody sat in a big arena and watched that, and then they had snowfall, and it was really, really magical. I liked that.
What celebrities?
The one that we saw when we went was Cameron Manheim, and she was very good.
Nice.
Now they've transformed that all into just Whoville, which is very fun. I love it. You've got the Whoville post office. You can send your wishes.
Oh, that's cool.
They have meet and greet with Max and photo ops, as with the Grinch as well. They have story time with Cindy Lou Who. She comes out and tells a little 10-minute story, and then there's photo ops with her afterwards. Martha Mayhew Bouvier comes out and does a song and dance routine with her Who dolls. And they bring a guest up on stage and embarrass him in front of his whole family.
I love that.
It's very fun. And then they do a photo op as well. There's offerings where you can decorate ornaments and hang them on their bevy of trees that are all around. What else? I'm trying to think.
Santa like? Oh, sorry to change gears here there. But,
that's okay.
Or was it snowy there in Whoville? Like,
yes, it is very decorated, but they don't actually have, I think they do snow during the tree lighting, which happens every half hour starting
and
at dusk.
Is it actual nice snow or the foam that looks like snow that everyone else uses?
It's the foam.
Okay, yeah,
I believe it was the foam. Just
if you're
no don't it's look snow up. It's real snow. This is
when you're in the foam snow, don't look up.
Yeah, don't look up and don't eat it. Don't open your mouth to try
oh
to eat it.
The very first years that
keep an eye on your kids.
The very first years at Disneyland when they did the snow on Main Street, it was you know, we would see the kids magically looking up and then opening their mouths. And
yeah, don't do that, kids.
No!
Slow motion running.
But it's so much fun. And the Whos that live in the area, so great. They're really into
who?
Their character. The Who, yeah, exactly. Who? There's the mayor, Mayhew. These people look like they stepped right off the film, actually. Being that they work at the theme park that is an active studio, they have all the necessities for the makeup and the prosthetics, and it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense.
You're face to face with these people, and it looks so real.
We'll have to do that one year.
It's really fun. I like it. And they're very interactive. They play with the kids, and they're so in character. Some of these people have been doing this since it started 10 years ago. I didn't realize it had been going on for that long.
It's really been going on for that long.
It has been. Wow. I didn't believe.
See, Universal really needs to up their marketing.
No, you make an excellent point. I didn't know that it had been going on.
I thought
for that
maybe
long.
5 or 6 years.
That's about what
10.
I thought too.
So, and I have associates and friends that I've worked with in theater and things that I know there. So I go specifically to see them and see their shows and visit with them and take pictures. One thing I was disappointed in, though, is on the tram tour, they no longer did the song and dance thing when you reach Whoville.
Okay, so everything I said at the beginning of the show was a lie.
Well, no, that's not true. We went on the first tram tour of the day, so it was very early. It's possible that throughout the day, as performers arrived, maybe they added that in. But there was,
How long is the Whoville at the entrance plaza been? Is that been going on the entire time, or is that a new addition?
No, this is an addition because when it first started a while ago, they had Whos roaming around the area, and they had a place you could play in the snow and walk on. Basically, it was packed ice. It was very dangerous. But now they've transformed it actually into Whoville. So it's a nice addition. I think it's a good change.
Do they have any specialty food or drinks?
Definitely. I think they still offered make your own sugar cookies, decorate, and you can do that. They had certain hot ciders and cocos available. It's really fun. The decoration doesn't go much farther than, I mean, there's some decor in, what is that, London Town Street when you first go in that borders it. But beyond that, it's not overly decorated.
That's a good thing, I think. I hate when it gets too Christmassy. Yeah.
Do you know, did you go into Three Broomsticks at all? Or?
Again with the Harry Potter.
I have to tell you that we walked through Harry Potter. It was so crowded.
Okay.
The line for just to get into the Three Broomsticks was, I think, an hour long just to get in to order some food.
Wow.
It was absolutely packed.
I was just wondering if they offered any of the Christmas food from the books.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I will say that we picked a poor day to go because it was also the last day that was open to pass holders before blockout. So we went on a day that was, they said they reached pretty close to capacity for them is like, I want to say upper 30,000s.
Wow.
I think they said – one of my friends that does the special effects show there, he said that they were at 33,000.
Wow.
Yeah, see, I will say this. Every time I've ever been to Universal Studios, Harry Potter World is absolutely packed, long lines. And you go anywhere else and you could get right on the rides.
Yeah,
except for the studio tour, which is hit and miss on how long you're going
to
wait.
The longest wait, according to the electronic boards, I think was 85 minutes, which is not bad for the tour. I've seen it upwards of 3 hours.
That's pretty busy for Universal Studios, though. I mean,
but it was extremely busy. Again, we didn't stay into the evening time, so unfortunately we missed the projections on the Hogwarts Castle. We did not get to experience
that. As I know you said it was crowded, but as you were making your way through Hogwarts, did they have Christmas decorations up?
You guys, well, leave her alone about Hogwarts. She didn't go to Harry Potter. Come on. Give her a break.
Typically when you go through there, if I remember correctly, there's always snow caps on the buildings. So it's already very snowy feeling anyway. The addition of garland and bows and shiny stuff added to it, but it's really didn't seem that different from walking through it any other day.
Yeah, that like permanent snow kind of ruins the feel when you're there on a 90 degree day wearing your Hogwarts robes and there's snow everywhere.
Right. No, that's true. That is true. I wish there was, but you're right. It's a permanent addition and it's not something that you can just
John
take
is
off.
Just incensed about the whole Harry Potter thing.
I know. I've noticed that. I'm feeling the vibe. I'm sitting next to him and it's like, ooh.
It's like, I mean, nobody's going to understand this. Okay. So here's why I hate Harry Potter. Okay. I'll just be straightforward with it. Okay. So my wife read the books. She's seen the movies. But I don't care. That's fine. That's normal. Even though she reads them over and over again, which is weird. She's an adult. But they have this thing called Harry Potter Weekend on TV. And I swear, they always say there's like extra clips. So she's like, we have to watch it. It's got extra clips.
It's nonstop Harry Potter at my house. Right.
So at the risk of John never coming onto the show again, are you aware that at Universal Studios they have the celebration of Harry Potter?
What?
Uh-oh, here we go.
So at Universal Studios, they have like a Harry Potter and it's free. So Universal Studios in Orlando, they have the celebration.
Oh, Orlando,
of,
that's
yeah,
right.
They have it. So they have the celebration of Harry Potter. So they have like stars from the movies and they'll come and like teach you how to choreograph a wand battle and they'll just, it's, yeah.
All John, I know what to get your wife for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I will be doing that someday.
It doesn't matter. I'm always alone in the way I feel about it. I get it.
Well, our 10-year-old also just read the books this summer, so he's new to the fandom. So it's John's slowly just being outnumbered.
Starting all over again from the beginning.
They're icing me out, man.
All right. So Dan, again, 1 to 10. How would you rate your experience at Universal Studios?
I would say it's about a 7. Because there were a couple things that I felt were lacking. I did forget to mention one thing. Also, on their website, I think it was, it promoted the Grinch taking over the tram tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It said something on the website. And when I was waiting for that while we were on the tram, I'm excited. We were sitting in the first car. So we're like, oh, great. He's going to jump on here. Nothing happened.
Not even on like the little like cheesy video that they
know. Nothing. Okay. And it was a bit of a letdown. I didn't know let my daughter know beforehand that was supposed to happen or anticipated that happening, but it didn't. And so I kind of felt a little let down. But again, might have been the time of day. Yeah. Might have been the first tram of the day kind of thing.
I was going to say the advertising for theme parks makes parents liars a lot. Because we'll tell our kids, like, oh, we're going to go cookie decorating. And then we get there and you can't find it. Or they sold out of cookies for that day. Or
stop being a liar.
Yeah.
No, it does. It does. So the moral of the story is don't tell your kids anything.
Yeah.
Tell them they're going to the grocery store.
There you go.
You know, and then you show up at, you show up at Universal Studios and hey, you're the hero.
The funny thing about that is they'd be like, oh, I wanted to go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Our kids, yeah.
And Santa says, what do you want for Christmas? For my mom and dad to stop lying to me.
Wow. Anything else, Diane? Any other
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
How was Santa there? Or did you know?
I don't even know if they have Santa there.
What about SeaWorld?
SeaWorld Santa. That is one thing I forgot to mention. If you choose to go to SeaWorld during the holidays, make sure you go to get a pager to visit Santa. They had a 3-hour wait.
1995 version
right?
of Santa.
Yeah. They had a 3-hour wait just to be called on a pager to let you know that your visit with Santa was
like
ready.
Like a 1134 pager or like BJ's.
Like an Olive Garden pager, I guess. Or they take your phone number and text you or something like that. But there was such a long wait by the time we got over there to see Santa. You can't just wait in line anymore. First of all, the queue is very short, so there's nowhere to line up many people.
It's probably kind of like in A Christmas Story where like kids sit on candy. Oh,
but I will tell you, we were able to look inside the door at the Santa, and he was wonderful looking. That's wonderful. He just looked – he's amazing. I mean, he's
– All right, guys.
He's great. But yeah, we had a good time. I think all in all, 7 for Universal.
Wonderful. Okay. So in our last couple of minutes, because we're running out of time and out of battery, I want to do a little something here. And I think I messaged each one of you. Without getting too much into detail, your favorite things from this year in the theme parks.
Boysenberry Festival at Knott's Berry Farm.
All right. Diane.
For the whole year?
For the whole year.
Oh, geez.
You can come up with more than one.
I really enjoyed Oh Wondrous Night, the live nativity show at SeaWorld. That was great.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. If they do something like that. I mean, my wife wants to go to visit SeaWorld. So, at some point before they go out of business. So we want – maybe next year we'll go at Christmas time. That does sound like a lot of fun. All right. John?
Harry Potter World.
Lies.
I really enjoyed the decorations at, I really enjoyed the, I, we had a lot of fun at D23 this year at the theme park, discussions and stuff that they had there. We had a lot of fun this year just going to DCA for Christmas. It was just such a different experience, than Disneyland. So those were our favorite things from this year. Looking forward to in 2018, I think we all have seen what's, going and coming to the theme parks next year. What are you looking forward to, in 2018 with not only theme parks, but just maybe with family, friends, anything you're looking forward to in 2018? Brandis.
In June when our passes are paid off.
Diane.
Actually, SeaWorld has a new attraction coming. It's a triple launch ride called the Electric Eel. So that'll be kind of fun to check out, I have no idea what that means, but
sounds like a nightclub.
Yeah. The Electric Eel.
Electric Eel.
With now featuring triple launch. but it sounds fun. I mean, I'm all for thrill rides. So
it is a triple launch.
No idea. I think it probably incorporates some kind of three ways to launch, like magnets and pulleys and launch system somehow. I don't know. So
interesting.
And it's all squiggly.
I'm going to do some research though.
It sounds cool.
And I'm looking forward to doing more podcasts with you.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
I'm looking forward to, we go to Disneyland usually like March, April every year. So I'm looking forward to that.
No, we do it in January.
Can you just let me, anyway, there's a new ride.
One thing.
Just, yeah, come on. All right. There's this new ride coming out in, at Knott's, a new roller coaster.
Oh yeah. Hang time.
So I'm curious to see that because their last one was kind of a fail, but this one should be good.
It's stuck every day.
Yeah, and the Sky Cabin is still not open.
They're refurbishing it, though.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. The other day, they had all the windows off.
Oh.
Well, that would be cool if they did it with windows off.
No.
They did do that. It was called the parachute jump.
Oh, that was fun.
I loved that.
I missed that.
That was so crazy.
No, on the Sky Cabin that goes extremely slow, we're like, windows, windows. But when they drop you in a cage, we're happy.
Right.
I'm also looking forward to the... And as cheesy as it looks, the new Paradise Pier looks interesting. Some of the new attractions coming to Paradise Pier, the new Incredicoaster. I don't know about the theming. You know, I'm a theater guy and I'm all about storytelling, and I don't know how well that's going to fit in with California Adventure, but I am looking forward to at least seeing that. I'm definitely looking forward to, in 2019, seeing the Star Wars land opening.
Sure.
I just bought Disney Vacation Club, so I'm looking forward to paying that off as well, and using that. But, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. Diane, thank you for coming in. John,
thank you for having us.
And Brandis, thank you for being here every episode so far. This will be our 9th episode. I am very grateful. This has been a dream of mine, and to be able to do this and do it with people that willingly come in here and give up a couple of hours of their Sunday, which is the day that we record, is truly magical. And we look forward to bringing you more news, more information, more history segments, just more. Our numbers are up every year. I'm so grateful to all of our listeners, all of our subscribers, and we certainly hope that you are enjoying the show. So that is going to do it for this show. That's going to do it for 2017. We will be back in January with an all-new slate of shows, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacation Land.